So what I want to talk about today is all based out of a scripture that I'm going to start with the word. Okay, so Matthew 22, if you've got your Bibles with us, go ahead and open up to this. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. You're going to know these verses. Starting in 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So to sum that up in a short way, love God, love people. All the Bible is about that. All of it. So we think of those as spiritual concepts, and I think sometimes we're guilty of thinking of the musical stuff, the arranging stuff, the band stuff, as practical concepts, as musical concepts. We're just thinking about, okay, this is my spiritual life, but up here is my musical life. And what I want to say to us and challenge you and challenge me with today is it's all one thing. There's no separation. God doesn't see, okay, now you're working on your music life. Now you're working on your worship leader life. Now you're at work. Now you're at family. It's all our life with Him. It's all one thing. And so love God and love people ties into this. If all the Bible is summed up in love God and love people, then I believe that arranging for worship team is tied up in loving God and loving people. So we'll talk through and just kind of explain where I see the connection. And I also want to just invite you, if you have questions as we're going through, go ahead and jump in. We'll treat this not as me just getting up here and quacking, but I'd love to hear from you too. So we've got these spiritual concepts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So here's what I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to respond. What is our job? How many of you are worship leaders? How many of you are part of a worship team? Okay, so everybody. What is our job as a worship leader or a member of a worship team? So we said worship, which is love God. Just pour our hearts out before Him. God, it's like what Hans was talking about last night with the crucifixion and what it had to pay for. The depth of our depravity. God, thank you for saving me from that. And then love people, lead them into His presence. So I wrote down to worship God, which is the first thing we said, and then to glorify / magnify. And what I love about the word magnify, what's a magnifying glass for? Makes things easier to see, right? So when we magnify God, our job is to make God easier to see for people. That's not about God not being big enough. You know, if you're driving up to a mountain range and somebody can't see it, is that because the mountain range isn't big enough? No, it's because one of two things. Either there's an obstacle or they have vision problems. So God, in His mercy, uses us either to help remove the obstacle in this worship process or to hand somebody a pair of glasses as we lift Him up and we tell the world who our God is and we magnify Him. So that's our job, loving God and then loving people through making God easier to see. And then to equip other people to worship God, to give them the tools, right? That's what we're doing. We find songs that are singable, that are easy. It's not a whole lot. You don't have to have a lot of vocal chops. You don't have to have a ton of range. And you give people these songs that say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. So that's our job. That's where I want to start, is loving God and loving people is at the core of everything we do with our job. I want to talk about that from rehearsal to Sunday morning. One of the things that we were going to do that I've kind of scrapped because I ended up as soup in the first section and wasn't really feeling quite in such a joking mood, but we were going to come in here and create one of those rehearsal moments where everybody up here is yelling at the sound guy, hey, I need more of me in my monitor, and then it starts feeding back, and it's uncomfortable, and you didn't ask him to come up and pray with you anyway, and so now there's this separation. You're that guy, and we're these people. And we're up here. And you've got that whole just awkward, and so the whole thing just starts off bad. And why does that happen? Because part of it's just probably some ignorance, and part of it is because we're thinking about ourselves before we're thinking about somebody else. Love other people as you love yourself. And so one thing in our rehearsal process that in the last just really a year, I guess, has revolutionized our rehearsal process, this is going to be so basic, some of y'all are going to think, well, yeah, is we've taken time to get gain structures set up. Like to have the drummer pound on the kick drum for a minute before we start. And so you can find out. And so that as we're going through the first song and David's like, hey, I need more of my guitar in the monitor. And John, oh, okay, let me turn your, and then, but then he turns the gain up because, and then David's guitar is exploding and the whole first song is just a wreck. And then you've started your rehearsal with this just awkward, tense thing. So Let's start by loving each other by finding out from your... Do you guys have consistent people that help you with the technical stuff at your church, volunteers or staff? If you do, find out from them, what do you need? What can I give you that makes your life easier? And what you'll find out is when you start doing that, what always happens is they go, oh, well, what can I do to make your life easier? And you start loving each other. Instead of being in a battle, all of a sudden, you're helping each other out. So that's a starting place in the rehearsal process. I just feel like there's enough spiritual warfare surrounding worship without us adding our junk to it. And so just start that process in loving each other. For a couple of musical things, love God. What that says to me, because we're loving him with all our heart and our mind and our soul and our spirit, all our strength, bringing everything to him. If any of you guys have musical background outside of the church, does anybody here ever played, you know, garage band, bars, clubs, anything pre-God? And probably in those situations, you brought everything you had, didn't you? It's like, man, if you're playing somewhere that doesn't have to do with God, you're going to bring your best guitar lick, you're going to bring your drum chops, you're going to sing the best you can, because that's what it's about. It's about being great. And I think sometimes folks come into the church and come into the kingdom and think, well, I can't do that anymore. That guitar lick's gone. I can't sing my just with all I have and pour myself out to him. And I just want to give you permission this morning. Yes, you can. Bring your best. God deserves, right? Look back at the book of Genesis, Cain and Abel. What does God want? He wants your best. So bring your best to him. Now, loving people, that's the loving God side, is just bring everything you have, pour out your passion. Loving people means that you don't necessarily play on 11 during the entire worship service, so that the people in your congregation that grew up listening to hymns are suddenly in pain and not thinking about God. They're just thinking about, when is this going to be over? So balance in everything. Is that making sense? Balance in all things. Love God, love people. Yep. So I'm going to move forward. Now, we're going to do just kind of some arranging things and then get to one more scriptural thing. Arranging, I don't want you to think about arranging, like I said earlier, as this big, scary, you have to know how to read music thing. Here's my definition of arranging. What, when, and how loud. Figure out what you're going to play. Figure out when you're going to play. And figure out how loud you're going to play it. So by what, I mean, where do you want the electric guitar? Where do you want the keyboards? What? What's going to happen? Then, like, how much dynamically do you want going on? When do you want them to come in, and just how big, how quiet? Did you guys notice last night with Hans leading worship? How many of you guys were there at the session last night with Hans leading? How much quiet there was? Now, my tendency, I like rock music. I tend to be just kind of loud, but what I loved is all the space he left, and all the quiet, and all the times that he was encouraging us, hey, worship leaders, would you mind singing with me? And pulling us in. So let's not be afraid of the quiet moments, but also, guys, let's not be afraid of the loud moments. If God has saved, like everybody, I just want for a second, just think about something that God saved you from. I'm talking about the stuff you're not going to say out loud right now, the stuff that you know that you've done. Think about that. God cleaned that and it's gone. Does that deserve loud? Yeah. It deserves loud, y'all. So let me do some, we're going to do some musical demonstrations. Just of a couple of different things, and then, I'm a mess. I don't really know exactly what all we're going to do, because God's just... Oh, I wanted to say this before we did that. Two philosophical options for how to relate to your team. There's really two things. There's the school of thought that you get the new Chris Tomlin CD, and you love it, and so you take it to your team, and you say, play this. That's one option. That's one option that can work really effectively. The other option is that you learn the new Chris Tomlin song on your own, and you bring your guitar or you bring your piano, and you just play it, and you see what happens. That's the two, in my brain at least, that's the two schools of thought. Those are our two options. So what I want to say to you in figuring that out, if you have a team of people who are competent players, but they're not necessarily super creative at coming up with parts, then you want to go with the CD approach. You want to go because you want to love them, right? That's our job. Love God and what? Love people. So you want to love your team. If you've got somebody that's not comfortable with coming up with a part, then equip them. Give them a part. The other side of that, love God and love people. If you've got creative people and all the time you hand them the CD and say, play this, it's the equivalent of, I guess really, of your pastor every week when you're getting ready handing you a song list and say, play this. So give your people, how many of you would love, and maybe some of you are there, but really love having somebody tell you exactly what songs to do when? Isn't that a blast? no freedom, he says sarcastically. It's miserable, right? So remember that with your team. If you've got people that are creative and want to be able to express themselves, give them that freedom. The reason for that is two things. One, just so you don't kill them, so that their hearts don't die in them. Two, what I've learned is if I tell somebody, here's the drum groove I want on Hungry, the one from the sea. Once you tell them that, you've lost the moment to see what they would have done. Because it's really hard, right? Once you start playing something, it's really hard to go back to whatever your first like ink blot moment would have been. Look at the ink blot. What do you think? So leave space. If you've got creative people, leave space to just throw something at them and see what happens. And I want to demonstrate with a song one way that that worked for us. So this is a song we do called There's No One Like You, Jesus. Chris, let's do initially like the way that we did it at the very beginning without the drum start, with just me strumming away, banging away. And we'll show you how this song started out originally. Then we'll stop and we'll do something else. And I'll just give you a moment of what happens. Like when I leave Chris free to do what he does and be who he is, then all of a sudden kind of a cool moment happens. So, okay, so this is how it started originally. So it's kind of, you know, grooving a little bit. You start singing.
Jesus, you are all that I need.
All right, so that's... Bueno, so that's how it started originally. And that's how we did the song for a long time. And we'd get into the chorus and pound away on it. And it was a good moment. It was a good song for our church. And then one day in rehearsal, we're playing through, and Chris does something. And I, like, stop and turn around. I'm like, dude. And I had this really moment of excitement. And so this is now how we do this song. Difference? Yeah, and exactly. I mean, I freaked out. I was so happy because all of a sudden, this song that was good. Would you agree that the first way was fine? It was. I mean, we could come in and we do stuff like that. That's how we do it. But by leaving space and by leaving some freedom, then all of a sudden, this moment happens. And it's like, are people worshiping the music? I hope not. I really do. But have you guys ever noticed what happens when all of a sudden the drummer gets on the floor tom and the snare drum and just goes, gum, 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 gum. People in the congregation aren't thinking, oh, floor tom, I love God. But there's something that happens with music, the way that God created it, that as things build and they get exciting, then we respond. We're sheep, right? God made us the way he made us. So let's find out what those tools are and be willing to use them. And if you need something, if you need a big moment, then dig in and have a big moment. And then if you need like a moment where you want people to really focus, one thing that I like to do is we'll be playing and just bashing on something, and then all of a sudden, like, just drop the bottom out of it. Because what's that going to do? Oh, well, I was asleep for a second, but now I need to pay attention. So, guys, let's do a chorus of that into the bridge, the down bridge.
There is no one like you, Jesus, who can do what you do, Jesus, who can love like you do, heal like you. There is no one like you, Jesus.
So what Hans did a lot of last night, right?
Jesus, Jesus.
Just kind of camp for a minute. And allow some space and allow some time. Don't have to program the whole thing.
Who can love like you?
We'll do this whole bridge to show you the build, too.
Feel like you. Who can love like you? Who can heal like you? Who can love? You, Jesus, who can do what you do.
So do you see, but you see what's happening there, right? We've got the chorus, we're singing out, "There is no one like you, Jesus." Talking to him, just love, "I'm in love with you. There's no one like you." Bam. And then it comes down and it gives you time to breathe and take in, okay, what I was just singing. And then who can love like you? Who can heal like you? Be looking for those moments where it doesn't become autopilot. And then as it builds back in, and as you feel there's some excitement coming, and there's some, and it's building, and there's some power, and then what happened? Bam, you stop. Why do we stop? One, because I'm a sucker for a drum stop. I just love it. I think it's incredibly fun, and it's a cool musical thing. Two, what did I sing? Did anybody notice what I sang after we stopped? With all my heart, and normally with a bunch of singers, we're singing, bam, "There is no one like you, Jesus." So not only is it a cool musical moment for musical geeks, but it's also a moment as we're singing, "There's no one like you, Jesus," there's also nothing else going on. It's a moment for us to get it. And it's like, again, your congregations aren't going to be saying, "Oh, that was cool where they stopped right there, and it drew our attention to this moment." People aren't going to notice that. What they're going to notice is all of a sudden the music stopped, and there's this huge moment with a bunch of singers saying, "There is no one like you, Jesus." And what you'll watch happen is the people that have been asleep, well, either literally or spiritually, where their hearts were just kind of not right, all of a sudden you watch. It's the thing that you said about the heart start getting right to be with God. So that's one thing of volume and of power and just showing what dynamics do. I'm going to go with option one for a second just to show the process. This is going to be the process of us learning a song. It's either going to be one that I brought with us that we haven't all played together, but does anybody here have a chord chart of a song that's yours that you'd be willing to come up here and let us mess with you? No? All right, then we'll do one that we brought. Guys, let's do "Closer." And just for the record, if you guys don't have the new Charlie Hall, the most recent Charlie Hall CD, it's really good. I would recommend go and get it because there's some great songs on there. This is one of the songs off of there. It's called "Closer." And it's just this incredibly simple song that also allows space. It's an arrangement moment because if you just played the song, so let me just play it by myself, which, I mean, by yourself could be beautiful.
Beautiful are the words spoken to me. Beautiful is the one who is speaking. Beautiful are.
And it repeats that, and then goes into this great chorus. So one thing would be to just, you could just do it with your guitar or your piano. Another option would be to do the CD version, the thing that we talked about. So I'm going to, first I'm going to allow us just to let the guys breathe and see what happens. And then I may start giving some specific direction, which there's a chance when I do that, they're going to give me some attitude because I don't normally do it, but just forgive them.
Beautiful the words spoken to me. Beautiful is the one who is speaking. Beautiful are the words spoken to me. Beautiful is the one who is speaking. Coming close. Coming close and speak. Coming close. Come closer to me.
Remember what I was saying about it's not just music or it's spiritual, but it's all together. Our life is our life. So as we're in this workshop right now and we're showing you some practical things, I want to encourage you just to be worshiping. We're going to go through this song a little bit more of it. Let's just take a moment and worship together.
Beautiful are the words spoken to me.
Beautiful is the one who is speaking.
Beautiful is the one who is speaking. Faithful is the one who is speaking.
Let's pray this together. Come in close.
Come in close. Come in close and speak. Come in close, come closer to me. In the power of your words, filled with grace and mercy.
So as we go forward and we worship, I'm allowing these guys just to be who they are in worship and do what they do. So I want to encourage you again. I can't say this enough. If you have the people with the skills, if you have the people that are wired like that, let that happen. Because there's things that are happening that are different than that CD right now. And these guys are just being themselves. And it's like there's things I could tell them, but let's just let it breathe. One huge advantage of that is that we have been, I can't even tell you how many years this group of guys has been playing together, how much time we've spent. And so if the headstock of my guitar drops a little bit, Chris knows. I'm saying let's drop it down. There's just little signals. Chris, he's told me that he'll watch my elbow. And I don't know what my elbow's saying, but he knows where we're going based on the language of my elbow. And so spend time and get to know each other, because what that also allows is freedom, that we could rehearse one thing. And then Sunday morning, in the middle of the song, that headstock goes down. The guys know, okay, we're going somewhere else. We're taking a left turn. So finding that freedom, having that freedom is great. Yeah. We do. We actually do, we started this a couple years ago, we do a separate vocal rehearsal. For years, we did everything all at once, and that's the equivalent of trying to not do a sound check. With the rehearsal from a band standpoint. So we do every week, we do a vocal rehearsal where we just sit and we grab time. For the most part, it's not on mic. We just literally sit in a circle and figure it out. And then what we usually do is then get back on the mic, make a recording of it for people to take home with them so that they can spend time and make sure that they're ready. Any other questions? This is actually a good moment for questions. Grace Chapel in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. So the question that I answered Leaper's Fork, Tennessee to was, what church am I from? And the vocal question was, do you do the rehearsal all together, or do you have a separate vocal, something to that effect? That probably didn't help much. That was pretty unclear. Sorry for whoever's listening to this. Any other arrangement things or questions that you guys have? Because where I want to go now is a put the guitar down and let's just talk as family for a minute kind of moment. So any other questions you have about anything that we've done, anything that we've shown, or just general band? Yeah, David.
I'd like to know, is there anybody out there that has had, like, coming into this meeting thinking, I hope we touch on this. I hope this gets addressed. Like maybe something that's really difficult for you and your worship team or supporting your worship leader or whatever. You know, like, I hope we talk about that. Is there anything like that that you guys are like, man, I'd love to just talk about this? I may be just shooting in the air, but is there anything?
A couple weeks ago, Holland Davis sent me an email asking me to write an article about worship for something, just kind of a 500-word, really short thing. My initial reaction is, are you kidding me? I haven't written anything since high school. What's going on? My other reaction was, I've got youth group tonight. I don't have time for this. At all. And this is going to get into the stuff. Oh, bless your heart. And I don't mean that in the mean Southern way.
Thank you, John.
So Holland asked me to write this article, and I just think I don't have time. I don't have the honest thought that went through my head is I don't have the ability. Which is, you know, anybody deal with any insecurity issues as a musician in this room? So there's no way that I have the ability, which is really just a faith statement of me saying God can't give this to me. And I don't have the time. And then I felt the whisper. You guys know the whisper? That deep whisper that said, first love. I'm probably going to get to be a mess during this. First love. And so I thought, I need to look in my Bible and look at that. And my Bible was sitting under a stack of discs of video backgrounds we just got. Stuff. Sitting under a stack of worship stuff. And I thought, wow. Okay, one, there's the article. So, but what incredible conviction that what represents my relationship and my life and this, the God that I say I love is buried under a stack of stuff. This morning, again, like I said, I thought I was just coming to listen to Brett. And I realized how much stuff I've put in the way. And how busy I've gotten and how little time I spend just being that kid at college who fell in love with Jesus. You know, grew up in a Baptist church, great family, parents who love God. And then there's that moment. Remember that moment? The light coming on moment. You remember it? Some of y'all are probably thinking, yeah, and I've never been the same since. I've been walking strong. Bless you. And some of y'all are thinking, God, I can barely remember it. It seems so far away. Because we get caught in the stuff. We get caught in the doing. What I don't want today to be is that I've just given you more stuff. I'd rather not do this at all than have you go back and think I've got to have my drummer hit the snare drum and the tom on the third song after the bridge. So I want to share this scripture with you that undid me. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. I want us all to look at this and let me pray for us. God, I pray right now in this moment that your spirit of conviction would come. And where we have wandered off and started doing all the right stuff and forgotten about why we're doing it, Lord God, would you today turn us back toward home? Come in and break us, God. Just break us, God, and bring us back to you. Revelation 2, start at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. I got that far into this passage in that moment and thought, man, if I could say all that, I'd be golden. I'm not even doing that. You know? If Jesus had just said all of that about me, I might be puffing up a little bit. Just thinking, man, I've got this thing figured out. Verse 4, the words that you never want to hear from Jesus. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. That was like a dagger to my heart. Because I remembered that moment the light came on. I remembered those moments in college staying up till 3 in the morning with a couple of guitars and a bunch of college kids just singing our guts out. I remembered those moments of prayer services and watching people getting filled with the Spirit and use their gifts and become who God made them to be. I remember those moments. You guys, I'm not saying that those moments aren't still happening, but what I'm saying is I feel like in that moment I had done this. And Jesus is over here, arms stretched out, just in love and waiting, saying, I love you. You're my kid. Just come worship me. The next verse. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. I'm going to stop right there. Repent and do the things at first. So where's some hope? Because right now, if kind of dropped and could use a Tom build right now, right? Because we've gone down into this place. So the hope is, he says, repent. So turn around and go back to what you know. Do the things that you know. So I'll say that to you guys this morning and share that with you. Do the things that you know. If you feel like what I've been talking about has resonated with you, then go back and do the things that you know. Go back to that place in your heart, wherever the moment where the light came on. Go to that place with just you and Jesus and just be still and start telling him again, I love you so much. I remember what you've saved me from.
I remember. I know that you say you don't, but I do. Thank you. Thank you. The thing that I noticed this morning with Brett as he was leading was joy and freedom all over him. Were you guys here for the I see that egg moment? He starts off, asks for an egg for a chicken shaker or something, like he's doing an altar call. And when somebody brings it up, holds it up, and he says, I see that egg. And it was like this just free, joyful, funny moment. And then he took us through this gospel song, and then all of a sudden, he just blindsides me. And we go deep. And I remembered. I remembered why I love music. I remembered why I love arranging. I remember all of that stuff in that moment. So repent and go back to the place that you once were. And I think, guys, when we do that, we're going to see God start lighting us up again and filling us up again. And we'll be able to take to the congregation. We'll be able to take to the people that we say we love, right? Love God, love people. If we'll go back to loving God, just, God, I just love you. You're amazing. I love you. And we spend time in that place. Then all of a sudden, when we go on Sunday morning, we haven't had to fire anything up. We haven't had to figure it out. We don't have to hype it. We don't have to all of that. We just go from this moment over here saying, God, I love you, to now we have a microphone and we're saying, God, I love you. All we're doing is amplifying it. All we're doing is magnifying it. All we're doing is magnifying him. One last thing. This morning, sitting out on the balcony at our hotel, and I'm looking at this tree. Not a tree we have in Tennessee. Don't know what it was. Kind of gnarly. Had some red stuff happening. Not real clear on what it was. And I'm looking at it, and I realized this tree had been topped. You guys know what topping a tree is? It's what anybody that prunes a tree doesn't want you to do. It's not good for the tree, but if the tree's getting too tall, when they top it, they just come through with a chainsaw and just take the top right off of it. I've got a buddy who does tree work and hates. He freaks out. He gets like visibly shaken when he sees a tree that's been topped, right? Because we've got somebody who prunes us, right? And so Jesus wants to prune us in the right way. See the connection? See where it might be going? So I'm looking at this tree that's been topped, and I'm thinking, there's something about that. Don't know what it is yet, but there's something about that. Spend some more time looking at the word, and suddenly, click, and the light comes on. And so I just want to say this over you guys. I'll probably say this tomorrow in the main session when we're leading. I don't know for sure. What I want to say to you is, if you guys are the tree, and you've been reaching up. Oh, the other thing about this tree that had been topped, everything was growing horizontally because it had been nailed across the top. And so it's all growing horizontally and it's all getting, you know, intermeshed and tangled. And it's a mess because it's all about, it had become all about this and not about this. And so what I want to say to you guys is, if you've had somebody come into your life when you felt like you were doing this and you were taking a risk, or you were trying to lead your congregation or do something new or try a new style of music or try a moment of quiet, and you had that person come and say, you can't do that. You can't do that here. And they came along, and you were reaching up for joy, and they took a chainsaw and just cut you off. I want to say to you, with whatever authority I have in the kingdom this morning, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can reach up. You can reach high. Reach to your King. Fall in love with him again. Fall in love with him in a new way. Fall in love for the first time. But reach, reach, stretch. Don't get all horizontal. There's been enough of that. Remember, there's enough spiritual warfare for us to add our junk, right? So let's go vertical. The beauty of this tree that had been topped, there's all these places that are just nubs. And then a few little places, there's these little branches reaching up. They're short. They're not nearly as healthy as they should have been, but they were going for it. And so I just want to encourage you, go for it. Go for it. Get vertical. You have permission from your King to be filled with joy. You look at worship in the Bible, it's kind of funny looking, right? There's dancing, there's bowing down, there's spinning, there's shouting, there's all kinds of stuff. They're standing up, they're just going crazy because of what God has done. So be free. Know that you have permission to reach to the King. Any other questions, guys? Anything else you want to talk about? This all worked. What if it didn't work? A lot of times it doesn't work because this is a team that we know each other inside and out. Part of the reason this all worked is because we've played together for a ton, but you only watched us do one song that we've been doing for 3 years and then watched us do a song that has four chords in it that never change. So I'm a clever monkey. I didn't bring some really tricky song for us to try to learn in front of you. But if it doesn't work, that may mean that your team is a team that needs the CD. So equip them ahead of time. Give them a chord chart. Give them time to soak in the song. So when they come in, they know what they're coming into. I've got guys on my team that way prefer for me to email them the song before rehearsal. So they come in and they know what's going on. This is a group of guys that for the most part prefers to just throw it at us and let's see what happens. But there's other folks that want to have it. So two things. Prepare them and also realize you got to give yourself time. Because believe me, there's plenty of times that we go in there and it doesn't work. Also give yourself the freedom that if it's not working, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do that song this Sunday. We have rehearsals that we go in and it's a song we've done a gazillion times and it's just like bad and can't figure out what's going on. And it's like, well, because that's not the song. And I had to grow in that. I would spend time. These guys had to suffer through me. Guys, let's just one more time. Come on, we can get it. And it just wasn't right. And so finally learn to pull the song and put something else in the place. And a lot of times you'll find out all of a sudden it's working. God's good like that. He'll just kind of pull his hand back a little bit and say, okay, try this on your own. See how it works out for you. Question there. So the question is, when you guys are playing and you hear something that's a mistake and you can hear it but nobody else is really noticing it, what do you do? But I'm going to interrupt you first with a chain of command authority thing. What and our team's really pretty good about this. There's nothing one player likes less probably than another player telling them how to play their instrument. And so I would say always filter everything through the leader. If your role is to be supporting the leader and you're one of the players or singers, filter everything through the leader. Hey, this isn't working. I think I know how to fix it. Then the leader will either say thank you and take credit for your idea, or turn you loose and say, hey, come here. I think we've got a fix for this. The guys, would you anything else that you would add from a support playing standpoint? Yeah, I got that one right. All right. Any other questions? Yes. The question was, ever had to remove a vocalist, a singer from your team because of a lack of skill? No. We're 30 minutes from Nashville. Skill isn't our issue. The thing that is the question that we deal with is, have you ever had to remove a singer because of their life? Have you ever had to remove somebody because of their heart? Yes. And incredible blessing. Are you doing that? Oh, a little bit. It kind of makes it not work. This is, again, why you need technical people in your life. Sorry. I've had the blessing of a lot of times this stuff. I'll find out whatever the issues are, but I find them out through there's another counseling something. And then somebody will just let me know, hey, we're going to talk to them too, but just let somebody know they need to sit for a little while. So the question is, how do you remove that person? You answered your own question for the most part. You're doing the right things. You're talking to your pastor's wife. Talk to the people in authority over you and say to them, how do I do this? And they'll let you know. Most of the cases that I've dealt with, the people knew it was life stuff. And so there was no surprise. And I just said, hey, let's just take a break. One angle that I also like to use because of what we're doing, because the devil wants nothing more but God's glory. That's his gig, is he wants to be glorified instead of God. If our gig is saying, I'm going to glorify God, there's a clear spiritual dynamic to that, right? Of warfare constantly. So he's going to be coming at us. So one thing that you could let people know, you're actually, and this isn't just a line, you're really helping them, because if they're not ready, it's like they're not armored up and they're not suited up and they're stepping out into this battle with no sword. They're not ready. And so say, well, I care about you. I love you. Your life's going to blow up. You need to back up and make sure that you're ready to go, that you're armored up before you go into the battle. And so one thing is it's caring for your people. If you care about them. Now, if it's somebody, see, most of the time, what I've dealt with are people who know what's up and they want to get better for the most part. Or it's such a scene that as soon as it's brought to the light, we never see them again. So there's probably somebody here. Holland Davis would probably be somebody to ask too. Because my guess is he's been doing this longer than I have, and he's probably dealt with more of that. Yes. All right. We do. I've really got issues with that. I'm sorry. I'll try. The question was, what about our statement of accountability? Thank you, Jeremy. We have something that we use before anybody becomes a part of the worship team that we talk through about their life and what their role is and all of this stuff, and we have them sign it. And at the bottom of it, it says, if I break any of this covenant, I'm submitting myself to church leadership. So if you've got somebody coming in new, that's super easy. You just say, hey, this is what we do. Challenge is, if you've got a scene that's been a scene for a long time, it's a little harder, but you could still do that. Say, guys, here's something that I went, blame us. I went to this conference, and they said this is something I should do. Tell them it's a guy in Tennessee, and that we're going to do this for them. Again, Holland has a great one. You could talk to me afterwards. I could email you the one that we use. But it's just this life covenant that your life needs to look like this, and it talks about submission, and it talks about all of that. And so have everybody on your team do it. So the comment was, pray and watch God take care of it, which almost always happens. You start praying and things come to the light, and then God does the personal. A lot of times will just step down or leave on their own. Any other questions? Yeah.
What order, if you would consider yourself to be a worship leader, songwriter, and a musician, what order would you consider that?
I would probably say worship leader first. Gosh, that's hard. Worship leader, musician, songwriter, I think. Is that? Yeah, my pastor said yes. Got that one right. Yes.
How do you manage, like, if people want to come and be on the team? Like, do you have a limit to, like, vocalists and people that want to be on the team? Like, how many girl vocals would you have? Do you have a limit to that?
I don't. The way that we handle it, when somebody walks up to me and says, hey, I want to be part of the worship team, my two responses are, you need to be here 6 months, and I'd love to see you in a small group, because there's just no way you're going to get to know everybody. Spend the time to get to know people, but also let your church structure work and let your small groups work. We will occasionally do a choir, so it's going to be a while before I get to the point that I've got more singers than I can use. As long as their hearts are good and they can sing, there will be, whether it's every month or every 2 months, there'll be a time that I can use them. Now, in my head, I have my categories of, if I'm just going to have three singers this week, if I'm just going to have one person on each part, here's my list. If I'm going to have two people on each part, I can go to list B and work it like that. If I'm going to have a choir, then it just opened up the whole world. And if anybody from Grace Chapel is listening, you're all on the first list. Yes.
If you lead but you don't play, what's the best way to direct the band?
Find someone that you connect well with that plays and spend time with that person. Find your guitar player, find your keyboard player, and develop a relationship there so that whenever you have that elbow moment where you're saying something with your elbow and need somebody to know what it means, that person is inside your head. That's what I would say. Calvin, would you agree with that? Cues. Calvin leads worship some at our church and doesn't play and sings. And so Calvin has hand signals he uses. This means chorus. I don't know what they all are. He's got secret hand signals. There's sign language for it. So use cues. The beauty of that is when you're a worship leader who doesn't play, you actually, your hands are free and you can actually do that. You don't have to have somebody read your elbow.
Do you always use a full band, or do you ever just do like an acoustic worship?
Typically, if we are doing an acoustic thing, it's going to be for a night service or something different. Our Sunday morning, we'll have moments of quiet in there, and that's actually something God's hit me with, even being here, is look for the moments of quiet. But we come out on Sunday morning, generally we come out swinging. Yeah. Yes. Okay. That would have to be really loud for it to get into that mic.
Wow, that's really loud. Okay. And I don't sing, so I'm not used to this. One thing that I wonder about, kind of maybe a controversial, at least for me, arranging technique, is the use of a solo or a interlude in mm-hmm. songs. And I, you know, I'm just a musician, but I sometimes think, wow, that's really contemplative, and I'm reflecting on the Lord. And then sometimes right. I'm like, wow, that pentatonic scale was totally the wrong one for that. And you're just trying to show off your one chop, right?
So, right.
So what? right. What are some guidelines you have on that
yeah.
subject?
again, I think that you kind of answered your question, that if it's about the pentatonic scale, then don't do it. If it's about contemplating the wonder of our God and using the gifts that he's given you, then do it. I'm a sucker for a guitar solo in the right place at the right time. Because when a song is just building and building and then somebody uses their gift and somebody just comes out and plays something that's beautiful and powerful and it's going somewhere. It's not this Grateful Dead moment that 10 minutes later you're wondering what just happened to our church service. But that you've got half a chorus. You're going to take half a chorus and have somebody just play. The other beautiful thing about that is that can lead to, that's the freedom thing again, and that can lead to those moments where the solo goes here, and that also gives you as a worship leader some time that you can be listening and thinking and like, where are we going? And that can take you to another place. So there are people that would say never do a guitar solo. I'm not that guy. I'm going to tell you that if you've got a player who will benefit your congregation, that will bless God and love the people, and it's not going to be a distraction. The key is it a distraction or is it glorifying God? If it's glorifying God, do it. In all things, if you're giving glory to God, go for it. Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you for your questions and your time. It was just an honor to have you here.